Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If. Only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Coming up on this episode of White Wine Question Time.
I'm exhausted. After I get off all with you, I've got a dark wash to put on. I've got to make the dinner. I haven't even thought about ironing or dusting yet.
Now then, Stewart first up to Tufnell. Oh, first and last.
And Gat said to me, he said, listen, England are looking at you. He said, but they ain't going to bloody pick you.
And Botham has him. Tufnell has another wicket.
It all became very dark and very cold in the house when she passed away, I'm afraid.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And my guest this week is an England cricket legend who's returning to the jungle 20 years after being crowned its king back in 2003 when he entered just weeks after retiring as one of cricket's greatest all-time bowlers. Since then, he's been a regular fixture on our radios and TVs covering the cricket, cutting a rug on the Strictly dance floor, and as a much-loved, much-missed captain after 13 years on A Question of Sport alongside Matt Dawson and Sue Barker. An unlikely athlete, he chain-smoked throughout his playing years and arguably spent more time in the bar than the gym, but that never stood in the way of him becoming one of the greats of the sport, playing county cricket for Middlesex for 16 years and representing England in over 60 international matches. Known as the cat in the sport, some say because of his lightning reflexes, others say because of his ability to sleep anywhere at any time, sometimes even on duty. He went on to become one of the greatest the sport's ever produced, a huge achievement for a lad from Islington who left the sport momentarily after his mother passed away when he was just 16, leaving his dad Alan to raise him and his brother alone. For the last 18 years, he's been happily married to Dawn, his third wife, and the woman he describes as his soulmate. Which is evident to anyone who's spent any kind of time in their company, which I've been lucky enough to do. I really can't wait to catch up with him. You're in for a treat. Let's dial him up, shall we? It's Phil Tufnell.
Hello, Phil.
Hello, mate. How are you?
I tell you what, I'm all the better for your generosity and hospitality. A box of 12 wines has arrived from you.
I see you've got a Bacchus there. That goes very well. Like with curry and sort of chai food, spicy food. And that's a very good marriage with it, that the Bacchus goes beautifully with it. Yeah, that's why I decided to do that one, actually. I'm on the Shiraz.
Oh, are you? You're Shiraz. looks and smells very nice.
Yes, it's lovely. It's not too grippy. It's not too. It's just nice and sort of subtle. It's not too grippy. These are all lifestyle wines, you see, because we got together during lockdown, actually, a mate of mine, and it was everything about wine, and he said, do you fancy doing some wine and sort of donating it to the NHS and sort of, you know, they can get a split of it? I said, what a great idea. And then it's carried on from there, and we sort of designed this.
Is that how it started, Phil?
Yes. So, so we donated some of the proceeds then to the NHS, and then he said, well, listen, you know, because cricketers and wine, you know, they sort of, they seem to go hand in hand, funnily enough.
It's like Ant and Dec, they belong.
Yes, there you go. Because, you know, we go to all these wonderful winemaking countries, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, all these great places.
Yeah.
When I toured, I always used to find myself in a winery. And then so this mate of mine said, well, come on, let's create a range. But we wanted to create it that it sort of cut through all the sort of, you know, what the hell, you know, what do we do? You know, what am I, I'm going for Sunday lunch, what do I get? Oh, I'm going to have some seafood on a lovely hot sunny day, what am I going to do? Like that. So we've decided these lifestyle wines, and exactly this Shiraz, he said, well, what do you like doing, Phil? And I said, I love Sunday lunch with me mates. And he says, right, well, let's go and blend a lovely sort of Shiraz. You know, I said, what else do you like? I said, well, I like barbecues, you know, with me mates. Oh, I've got this lovely Tempranillo. Let's blend it together. And that's how it's sort of like, you know, it's a wine for every occasion that you want to do, you see.
Phil, only you could come up with something like that. That's brilliant. You've paired the wines with your favourite social moments.
Absolutely, that's right. And you're drinking that Bacchus, which is...
It's really nice, really light.
Yes, which goes with I like Thai and curry. And so he said, oh, I know what, I'll tell you something, there's some lovely Bacchus, and let's blend a nice Bacchus to go with that. So it's got everything covered.
Now, Phil, not only have you sent me some fine wines, almost following your cricket career, but you've been back in the jungle, not in Australia this time, but South Africa. So how was that? And did you have to even think twice when they asked you?
Oh, it was great fun. I mean, and what a place. It was amazing. I mean, the landscape, the scenery, the animals, the people were all right as well. Who I was in the camp with, they were great fun as well, and we all got on pretty well. But, great fun. And, you know, there was baboons wandering about, and you could hear hippos and lions, and giraffes were sticking their head over the fences and everything. It was awesome. It was brilliant. Loved it.
How was it compared to 2003 and the Australian camp that you went on to win in?
Yes, that's it was different. Obviously, it was very sort of closed in, the one in Australia, in the jungle, and sort of like it was all a little bit sort of thick and dense. This was a little bit more spread out, and you could sort of see things a little bit more. The one in Australia, I can remember just sort of like looking, sort of like I'd be lying in my bed and sort of looking over to where all this foliage was, and you can just see sort of like things moving around in it. This was a little bit more spread out, and it was great. I loved every minute of it. It was a great experience. It was a great experience in Australia, and it did disappoint in South Africa as well. It was great fun. Loved every minute of it.
I can imagine that you became fast friends with the likes of Sean Ryder.
Oh, he was hysterical. He was
I knew you'd love him, Phil. He's funny, isn't he?
We had a great time.
The thought streams are just brilliant, aren't they? The way he just chats.
He was one of the most sort of open, sort of honest men I've ever met. He didn't sort of care about anything. He said, oh, you know, I've done it, you know, did this, or I've got this, or something's wrong with me here and all me back, you know. He just told it how it was. No airs and graces, just the truth. Just the honest truth, with no sort of, you know, no sort of trying to hide anything, good or bad, you know what I mean? He just was an open book. I loved him. I got on with him famously in there. He's a great man.
I knew you two would hit it off. We've had him on the show, and he'd not long had his ADHD diagnosis, and he was just like, it was like walking around like a man that finally understood himself, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, which I love, you know what I mean? I love that. Just, you know, he wasn't, you know, paranoid about anything or worried about anything. He just said, listen, this is me, you know, and this is what I do, and this is, you know, as you said, I've got ADHD, I've got this, I've got that, or whatever, and you know, was just completely upfront about it, and I loved him for it. I mean, it was an amazing place. It was like the Grand Canyon in reverse. It was like this massive escarpment, so you know, thousands of feet up. It was amazing. And if you looked in the rocks closely enough, which me and Sean used to of an evening as the sun was setting, you could see all these faces appearing. You know, all these amazing things would happen in these rocks, and it's quite famous.
Are you sure you two weren't smoking anything?
No, but it's famous for it. You know, there's like, it's like sort of the gods of, you know, like, you can imagine back in the day that this place was a very spiritual place. You know, you could feel it. You know, there was like these beautiful sort of waterfalls and ponds and these rocks, you know, and this atmosphere of it. You can imagine all these millions of years ago that people would have gone there and sort of looked at these sort of rocks and seen, you know, I can just imagine it was a very special place back in the day.
I love the idea of you and Sean Ryder finding spiritual comfort there. That's brilliant.
No, we had a great time. He's a top man, Sean. I loved him.
And listen, you've been knocked off your feet, haven't you? You're having to look after Dawn while she recovers from a little op.
I'm exhausted. After I get off all with you, I've got a dark wash to put on. I've got to make the dinner. I haven't even thought about ironing or dusting yet. You know what I mean? No, Dawn's had a tough sort of 4 or 5 weeks at the moment. She's just had a hip replacement. And as you know, Dawn, she loves all her fitness and her yoga, so it's been very frustrating for her. But listen, respect to the carers of this world. They, you know...
Oh, the carers, definitely.
Amazing. They do an amazing job. I am absolutely shattered. I've been up and down. I got her a bell. That was a mistake. I shouldn't have got her a bell.
We must explain to the listener how this role reversal is. I mean, it's an epic role reversal, yeah?
It is indeed. Well, Dawny looks after very well.
She does, yeah. She does. She's like the wind beneath your wings.
Absolutely, she is. Absolutely. But she's had this operation, and she's sort of like, she can't move about great at the moment. So I've stood up to the plate, and I'm absolutely exhausted and shattered. But hopefully, she's turned the corner and she's on the mend.
Oh, now, see, I had the pleasure of getting to know your good lady wife when we did the Strictly tour together many, many moons ago.
Yeah. What fun we had there.
I looked like an old potato naked. I was just covered in bruises. And just the same shade as a potato, because we had so many fake tans. Do you remember all the hotels were getting pissed off with the fake tanning on the sheets?
Well, I think I treble dipped one day. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, I just came out like I'd been in Barbados for a year. I mean, we had such fun there, though. It was brilliant. And we did the O2, didn't we? Not the O2, also at Wembley.
That's
or something.
It, we did the O2.
Did the O2?
No, we did both, actually. We do the O2 and Wembley.
I know, and God bless the punters who turned up, because they saw me just going the wrong way. I was tripping over.
Murdering every routine.
Thank God there were some decent dancers. Oh.
But what was amazing, Phil, was that no matter how many times we did the routines, you never seemed to really learn them.
No, I didn't. Well, I found it, I must admit, I found it tricky. You know, it's all about, you know, do you go on one or do you go on two, or is it an 8 count or a 7 count or something? I mean, I can't even count anyway. I didn't bloody know which one it was. But it was great fun to be looked after by all the pros.
You're back out on the road again this year, a second run, actually, with Sue Barker and Matt Dawson.
Yes.
And you're going around the country giving the people what they want, Phil, because people did not want to stop seeing you three, let me tell you.
No, well, thank you very much. Yes, we did it a couple of years ago, and it went brilliantly. As you say, everyone loved it, well, seemed to love it and enjoyed it and what have you. And so, yes, we're getting the band back together. We're going to be like, you know, we're going to be like, take that. It's coming back together.
Without the songs or the dancing.
No, without the songs.
Or you tell me.
Back together. But I mean, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. I mean, as you say, we still keep in touch. And, you know, we go out for the odd lunch and what have you. And so it'll be great to hook back up with them. You know, you get to know people very well, as you say, when you work with them for 13 or 14 years. And so, you know, we got on very, very well. All had very similar sort of senses of humour. And, yeah, loved every minute of it. So it's going to be great to get back and do it. And there's something about sort of stage, isn't there, and live and in theatres and what have you. It's great fun, isn't it? You know what I mean? And so can't wait for that.
That's the impact you have on people when they come along and get to share an experience with you. So I would encourage anybody to pick up tickets for the tour, because you made my old man very happy.
Well, yes, I mean, but I'm very, very lucky like that. It's not just another day at the office, you know what I mean? I played cricket for my country and loved every minute of it. And then to go and be involved in it in the capacity of sort of commentating, and then, you know, still being involved in it and still getting that buzz every day. You know, when you turn up and you're sort of excited and there's a full house and you're in the commentary box and you're chatting and what have you, you get totally enthralled in it. So it's not a chore. It's not a chore at all. You know, every day something different happens, and it's very lucky to be part of the old radio and the TV covering the cricket, because you see all your old mates there as well that you used to play with in the media.
Yeah.
And everything. It is not another day in the office. Every day is wonderful. Very, very lucky.
Right, well, I'm going to raise my Bacchus to your Shiraz, and we're going to dive into the first question first.
Let's have it.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Years you've been roommates with an unlikely bunch.
Okay.
Eclectic, I think, is the best way to describe them. The likes of Ian Botham on your cricket tours, you two, for some reason, somebody thought that was a good idea, that you should share a room. You've been jungle mates with John Fashanu and Wayne Sleep. And then on the Strictly tour bus, there was the likes of me, Denise Van Outen, Lisa Riley, expanding that out across a very interesting life and career. Who have been the most illuminating and educating of all the people you've been thrown together with, Phil?
Blimey, all right. Well, when I roomed with Ian Botham, he was never there. It was like having a single room.
It's in the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
I reckon you roomed with him just because he made you look moderate.
Who was the most illuminating? Why, crikey, all right.
The ones that taught you a lot or made you think, you know?
Yes, well, I tell you something. Michael Atherton, Manchester Grammar and Cambridge University. You know, I'd be sitting there sort
of... Is he
like,
really?
Yeah, I'd be sitting there sort of watching cartoons on the telly, and he'd be reading War and Peace, you know, as we're sort of trying to... Was the night.
You're watching Super Ted.
Yeah, exactly. He used to go tough as, for God's sakes. And so he tried to get me sort of like into all that. Yeah, there's people, I mean, you know, everyone has their own little things, don't they? Everyone brings something different to the party, and that's what we did on tour. They tried to sort of mix us with everyone. So you could take little bits out of different people. So, yeah, be very, very lucky. I mean, and in the jungle, well, in the jungle, you're just in, you're just nose to tail with everyone, aren't you? You know.
But you are forced to converse with them in a way that you're not on a cricket tour. Like, you can just escape people on a cricket tour. In the jungle, there's no hiding. You have got to listen to John Fashanu's stories.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, you're rude. You can't keep leaving the campfire.
No, Fash was great, though. I got on very well with John as well. And I could see why he was captain of that crazy gang, you know, that Wimbledon side that went to Wembley and beat that, you know, fantastic Liverpool side 1-0. I could see how, you know, he was a leader, you know, he was a leader. And I looked up to John a little bit, you know. He's, you know, great big bloke and strong, but very funny, but then also very sort of understanding as well. But I can understand why sort of he was made captain, you know. He was sort of an inspirational guy, John, and good fun. So I liked him very much as well. But yeah, I mean, you know, in the jungle, as you say, you are in that sort of close confine. But I quite like it. I like talking to people. You know, I'm quite a sociable little chap, really. You know what I mean? Trying to keep a smile on your face, you know. And
you tweeted being around the campfire about like being around the pool in a hotel. You were so sociable and affable.
I know. Just have a little chat. And as you say, when you're in a team environment, which I have been all my life, I think that's why the sportsmen do quite well, is that, you know, you're used to sort of like the highs and the lows of people's emotions and what have you. And, you know, you're always, you know, if someone's had a bad day and on the field, you know, you sort of try and pick them up, you know, and you're sort of like, you know, you want to try and sort of like, you know, help them out a little bit. So it comes quite naturally to sportsmen, I think. As you say, being in a team environment, I've always liked that. So it's not a problem to me, really, having to sit down. I can have a chat about absolutely nothing, honestly. You know, just waffle away. I quite enjoy it.
What about the people within the sport that were the most educating and illuminating?
Obviously, when you first start out, I was very lucky at Middlesex to have some very good senior players. You know, that's how you did it. Nowadays, you've got all these different coaches and DVDs and analysis and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, but back in the day, it was just sort of like who the senior boys were. And I was very lucky with the likes of Mike Gatting and John Embry at Middlesex, who sort of thankfully saw a little bit of something in me. And, you know, even though I sort of, you know, perhaps gave them kittens, you know what I mean? You know, I think they saw that, you know, that I could, there might have been a few rough edges that they could sort of knock off, and I'll be forever grateful for them. And, you know, and I'd like to think that I repaid them a little bit. You know, I did pretty well for Middlesex and what have you, but very lucky then to have sort of senior people to go to that you trust, you know. There's a lot of people.
Yeah.
In sport, that when things are, you know, when things are going great, that's fine. But when things aren't going so great, lots of people, and I do it myself in the media, you know, and commentate, you have to, you know, sort of, you know, sort of say why this bloke keeps getting out and should he be dropped and shouldn't he be dropped and what have you.
You have to offer an opinion on why you think that is, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, that's almost your job, you know. And so lots of people have an opinion. And you can sometimes sort of like be going to so many people with advice, and you get so much advice that sometimes one bit of advice I would give to young players is that two or three very trusted people that you respect their sort of judgment, and they're the people to go to when things aren't going so well, because otherwise you just get inundated and you just sort of like get in this sort of cloud and haze, you know. So I was very lucky in that respect.
Yeah, it's good to have a trusted hand on your shoulder, isn't it?
Absolutely. Someone supports you, someone who's got your back, and someone who actually tells you honestly what they think. You know what I mean? They're not just a yes or a no man. You know what I mean? They actually say, you know, they try to help you, genuinely try to put you back on the right sort of path.
Literally, it's like you've read the next question, Phil, because that takes me very, very nicely into question number two. I wanted to talk about your dad. because he stands out as somebody that's been the making and saving of you in so many ways. The making of you because of his encouragement, his sacrifice and his commitment to help you make it in cricket. And the saving of you because, well, when your mum died, you say yourself, you went off the rails, you left the sport, got a motorbike, was expelled from school. You say everything became a bit pointless. And thankfully, my dad dragged me out of it and tried to point me down the right path. All of a sudden, it was just me, my dad and my brother, three fellas wandering about, not knowing what to do. You have to sit down and get yourself together and sort of move on a bit. And I became very close to my dad then. He ran the family. So I wondered, Phil, if you could tell me a little bit more about your dad and that time, because it sounds like a very key time in your life. And also about the people that set you on the right path and maybe pulled you back from making some wrong turns along the way.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a tricky old time. You know, as you say, my mum was a fantastic woman and, you know, really sort of led us all, you know, she was the driving force, really, you know. And when, you know, it all became very dark and very cold in the house when she passed away, I'm afraid, you know. And my father, you know, had to keep everything going, really. It was funny, actually, because he sort of then said, listen, you know what I mean, you know, I can't force you. I'm going to take you every, you know. He took me as a boy, as he said, stood on the touch lines, freezing bloody cold in football, you know what I mean. So lucky, you know, to have that sort of support and what have you. But then, you know, when I went off the rails a little bit, he said, you know, listen, you know, I can only point you in the right direction, you know, in what I think is the right direction. But, you know, if you want to go in a different direction, you know, I can't bloody stop you, boy. You know what I mean? So, but then thankfully, I then went to work with him at a silversmith's factory, you know, hammering pots and pans. And I was a good silversmith because that's what his trade was. And I became this good sort of silversmith, and I was, you know, earning my first wage packet and everything, and sort of going down the pub at lunchtime with all the smiths and all the polishers and everything like that and what have you. And but then my dad said, he said, I walked past you at the bench, you know, and I was smashing these pots and pans, getting all the dents out of them and everything. And he said, son, he said, your eyes are gone dark. He said to me, I'm going to give you a full day's pay. And I've organised a trial down at Lord's. And it's only 2 hours. You've got to get there at 10. And it's finished by 12. And even I could do the maths on that one. I went, hold on, a full day's pay. And all we've got to go down.
I love that that's your first thought, Phil.
Yes. A full day's pay. And all I've got to do is run about and have a little game of cricket. Well, I think I'll do that. So he then took me. He dropped me off. And I sort of did this trial, and I got in, thankfully, and then it sort of then started from there. So if my dad had sort of given up on me, and I was doing all right in the business and what have you, but thankfully he still then, that was his last throw of the dice, sort of thing, to try and get me to this line and playing the sort of, you know, following the sun. And he said, you don't want to be hammering pots and pans all day, boy, you know what I mean, for 50 years. He said, I've done that all my life, you know what I mean. He said, and it was great, and it was a good living and what have you, but he said, just give it one more go. And that was the last throw of the dice, and thankfully it worked. So I will be forever in his debt.
So he really, I mean, that's what I got from that, is that he was the kind of the saving of you, the making of you. Yeah. He pulled you off the wrong path and put you on the right one.
Right.
And, you know, we're so lucky that we have people that come into our lives and can do that. Has anybody else been as influential, do you think, in terms of helping you to turn the right way rather than the wrong way?
Yeah, Dawny, for sure. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you know, God knows what I'd have been up to if I hadn't met Dawn. So, they're two very, very special people in my life. Obviously, my mum, she passed away. So my dad and Dawn. The D's. All the D's.
Double D.
Double D. Double D.
I mean,
double dishwasher. Double D. That's what we've got. Double D. You've got to get
that's what you are at the moment, Phil.
You've got to have two dishwashers. Thank God I've got two dishwashers.
What was it about Dawn that made you stop and become the man that you are, as opposed to the man you were on track to become? Because you did, she changed you profoundly, didn't she?
Loyalty and honesty. There you go. Loyalty and honesty. And good fun. Great fun. Mm. and very attractive. I would say, I would probably say loyalty and honesty, without a shadow of a doubt. If Dawn says she's going to do something, she does it, and does it with enthusiasm, and goes for everything with the determination, even if it's, I don't know, painting a wall or something, you know what I mean? Make sure she does it to the best she can do. When sometimes perhaps I could be a little bit slapdash and always looking perhaps for sort of a shortcut or something, you know what I mean?
And a way out.
Yeah. But Dawn, if she puts her mind to something and she says she's going to do it, she does it. And I respect that. Immensely, and as you say, loyalty and honesty is right up there for me, and she's got that in spades.
You speak with such affection about Dawn, and you got, how many years you've been married now? Or is that a bad question to ask a man two glasses of wine in?
No, well, we got married. It must be 15 or 16 years.
Shall I Google it, Phil?
Yes, it must be 15. I'm terrible.
18 years.
There you go. Loved every minute of it. Love her every morning. Love her more each day.
Do you?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think she gets more beautiful each day. I really, really do. I'm a very lucky lad.
I hope she can hear you from upstairs where she's laying out, waiting to ring her bell to get you get a cup of tea upstairs.
Hopefully. Hopefully. No, I'm very lucky.
There's a few in the bank after this chat, Phil. You've done really well. Before we move on to my next and final question, I just wanted to pick up on Mike Gatting and some of the senior players that I think you mentioned John before, Middlesex, who you said saw the potential in you. I think you've recalled before turning up in the Middlesex dressing room for the first time wearing earrings, you had long hair, you're wearing winkle pickers, you had a mad jacket on, and everybody just looked up at you like, what the hell has just walked in? And they saw beyond that, didn't they?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a very sort of old school tie a little bit back in the day, turning up to Lords to play for Middlesex. I had a ponytail and earrings and everything, and everyone went, they bloody let me in. They wouldn't let me in, and I'd say,
shut up, really?
Actually, you've signed me. You shut up. I've got to come in because I'm calling.
They would let you in.
get out without a tie and a blazer on. And, I perhaps had a sort of a rebellious streak a little bit, perhaps even sort of like an anti-establishment sort of streak a little bit, perhaps back in the day, and sort of, you can't tell me what to bloody do and all this kind of stuff and that. But, it doesn't necessarily get you anywhere, and I can remember Gat said to me one day, because I had this great big ponytail back in the day. I mean, it looked ridiculous, and I was scruffy and I had an earring and everything like that, and Gat said to me, he said England are looking at you, he said, but they ain't gonna bloody pick you if you've got this stupid earring and you keep messing about and you're not sort of toeing the line a little bit, and you have to get your bloody hair cut. And he took me down to the barbers, sort of like a screaming child, and I say, under his arm, sort of stick. And he took me down to this hairdresser's, plonked me in the barber's chair, and he sort of said, right, give this bloke a short back in the sides, And I was going, this is outrageous. You can't tell me what to do. It's not about just having a haircut. You should be picked on merit and everything like that. He said, listen, just listen to me. And I went, all right, then, like that. And then 2 weeks later, I was selected for England. So he kind of knew what he was talking
about. He's right.
Yeah, so he kind of knew what he's talking about. And then those kind of things slowly, I suppose, they sort of mature you a little bit, don't they? Can't just keep running about, messing around and, rubbing people up the wrong way and having a surly face or something. You have to sort of then, I suppose it's all part of growing up a little bit, isn't it?
It is. It is exactly that. It's,
especially when you get a call up like that to the England team.
Yeah.
You got a man up in that moment and grow up, haven't you? You know, you've got to stop piss-arsing about like a boy and start acting like a man.
Exactly. And perhaps, you know, that's exactly what they sort of then taught me a little bit, because I was, you say, running about, you know, it's sort of like late teens and in my early 20s, like a, you know, just like a little boy, really, you know what I mean? And if you want to start playing with the big boys, you know what I mean, you have to start acting like them.
Well, exactly, which you did.
Yeah, but you still got to have a little glint in your eye, you know what I mean? You still got...
Phil, I've been on tour with you. I know that you've got a glint in your eye.
There you go.
Right, you ready for your last question?
Go on.
It's a simple one, or is it?
Thank God.
Which one song, one object, and one photograph could sustain you forever? If that's all you were left with in the world, one object, one photograph, one song.
One song, I Love You, Baby. I love you, baby. That was a song. Yeah. Moment of Dawn.
You're just too good to be true.
I see, you're just too good to be true. That one. So that would be that.
And why is that?
Well, because I just remember our wedding party. Our wedding party when it came on. You know, and we was all sitting there, and we had all our mates around and everything in a sort of marquee in the garden, and it's, as you say, it sort of starts off, you know, you're just too good to be true. And we're all dancing like that. And it goes, da-na, da-na, da-na. And everyone, yeah, the place where...
Do you know what, though? That sort of scores you as a human being, Phil. It's all soft and lovely and cuddly and full of emotion, and then it's right up for the party on the chorus. That's you in a nutshell.
And then all the glasses were going and all the cakes were... So that was that. So that's the song. What was
that's
it?
That's your song, is it? You and Dawn?
Yeah. It sums me up.
Yeah, that's nice. I love that.
What was the other one? A picture?
One object.
Oh, an object?
Yeah, you can have a photograph and an object.
Okay. Well, can I have two objects?
Go on then.
Go on then. My mum gave me a St. Christopher, a gold St. Christopher. And crikey, that would have been all blimey, I don't know, 45 years ago or something like that, and I still wear it, especially when I travel. Oh. Like that. So and that's sort of like the one thing that I've kept over all of these years. So that would be that.
Wow, that's lovely, Phil. God, yeah. She gave you that. I mean, St. Christopher is there to keep you safe on your travels. Is that right?
Absolutely. Yes. So she gave me that
to keep you safe wherever you are. Is that?
Yeah. That's right. And so she gave me that just as she was sort of like passing. And also my wedding ring. I've never had a wedding ring. And I've got a wedding ring with Dawn, and I'll never take it off. So they're my two prized possessions. I'm making myself.
Well, of course you can have both of those.
It's sick. Oh no. What happened to this hell raiser?
Where's he gone? You're like that, clutching your pearls. But there's special memories attached to those. That's your mum that you're wearing around your neck, and your wife that you're wearing on your wedding finger. That's amazing. They're amazing women that have shaped you.
Absolutely. So wherever you are on the in the world, even though necessarily you can be on your own, and you know, or miles away from your loved ones and everything, they're always there. So. That's my two objects.
Your greatest protectors. Like it. What about the photograph? One photograph, if you had to pick one picture that you could look at forever, what would it be?
Flikey, blimey. I mean, there's so many great photographs. I mean, I've got family photographs when I was a boy and married to Dawn and everything. Well, I'm going to go a little bit off-piste here. I'm going to say...
Go on.
A photograph of me at the Oval when I bowled Australia out. There you go.
Yeah.
Bowled Australia
That's
out.
That's got to be a moment.
It was called the Pepper Grinder. It's actually, I've got it on my wine bottle.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I bowled Australia, and it's like I'm doing a little jig like I'm doing a little jig at it. Yeah, that one, I think that won Sports Photograph of the Year. So that was a good memory as well. But there's so many photographs I've got, which I hold very, very dear.
That's a good one though, Phil.
Yeah, we'll take that one. We'll take that one. Just so I can remember that. I did actually used to play a bit of cricket.
A bit of cricket.
Memory fades, you know. The memory fades.
Phil, doesn't it just?
Doesn't it?
Getting old is a privilege. I get that. Especially when we think, you know, about those that don't make it to old years or old age.
Yeah.
But blimey, didn't I slow you down, doesn't it?
Well, it does a little bit. Yeah, it does a little bit now. I know.
The aches, the pains.
It's going to be like we're going on this tour with Matt and Sue. You know, it's going to be one glass of red in the bar and then bed. After the show.
That's not you.
That's not for
But you know what, Phil? You're right, because after a show, I mean, you start going, well, off stage at 10:30. Blimey, it's already getting on.
Oh, I might just go back for a cocoa.
Phil, I love talking to you. I'm going to come and see you on tour if you'll have me.
Absolutely.
With Sue and Matt. And I'm going to bring my dad, if that's all right.
Yes, absolutely. Whereabouts are you?
Well, London or Cheltenham.
Oh, well, there you go.
London
or
Cheltenham.
I'm sure we're going up and down the country, so by all means, drop us a line and you'll be VIP. If there are, I don't know whether there's a VIP place.
Well, like the Strictly Tour.
Yeah.
And if people want to buy your wines, they're available at Virgin Wines. Is that right?
Virgin Wines, yes. Get them there. It's lovely. It's a great drop. And very, very drinkable.
I promise you, kids, it really is. This isn't vinegar with a celebrity photo on.
No.
This is fine wine.
Yes, it is. And it's my blend. It's just not a bottle of wine with my face on it. It's actually how I like my wine to be.
Well, I think you should run Dawn one up now. See if you can't oil those hips up. And don't forget that dark wash. And I'm really looking forward to watching how it plays out for you in South Africa. And thank you so much for joining me today. I do always love talking to you. You're a gent.
Pleasure to see you again, Kate. Lovely to see you, mate.
My huge thanks to Phil. And don't forget, if you want to go see Matt, Sue and Phil on tour with Extra Time, tickets are available wherever you buy your tickets. And his wine, which is mighty fine, let me tell you, is available exclusively from Virgin Wines. And if you fancy more great conversations with former jungle campmates, then why not listen to the episode we dropped last Tuesday in our Something from the Cellar edition, featuring Sean Ryder, Vicky Patterson and Scarlett Moffat. To make sure it finds its way to your feed, just hit the follow or subscribe button if you haven't already. Thanks for listening. I'll be back Friday with a brand new guest.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.